This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I want to talk to you from the next few minutes from the subject of the grace of giving. Everybody say the grace of giving. Giving is an expression of God's grace. And I want you to catch this because I've never actually taught this component before. And so giving is an expression of God's grace. It is an act of God's grace at work in the heart of the Christian or in the heart of the believer. There's a phrase that we've coined in the body of Christ, and it's called same grace. You ever heard that? Sometimes you hear somebody, you know, get a promotion. You say, same grace. Somebody get a new car, same grace. You know, something good happens for them, same grace. And that's good. You got it. But what about when you hear somebody saying, man, I'm excited about the big giving day. I'm giving 10 grand. You know, are you still apt to say same grace? Right? Luke, the 6th chapter and the 38th verse teaches us very simply that if we give, what's going to happen, class? It's going to be given unto us. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Watch these next two words. Shall men or woman, that's not gender specific, as the case may be, shall men give into your bosom. He says, for with the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. And so that is why I think that, you know, the Bible says we are to provoke each other to good works. Even with the big giving day, you know, pastor doesn't put pressure on you. You know that. You got it. But I do push you. You got it. To obey God, to talk to your spouse and to get an agreement and those kind of things, because I understand that the Bible says that God is going to raise up a man or a woman, as the case may be, to be a blessing. And my whole revelation on that was, God, make me the man. You got it. That you are allowing to be a blessing to others, because if I'm in a position to be a blessing to others, that must mean I'm blessed. Does that make sense? And so you have to think like that. Don't always be the person that just wants to receive and get from this person and get from that person, but say, Lord, put me in a position that I'm the one that I'm able to be a blessing. Isn't that right? Yeah. And so, you know, because God is looking for channels that he can flow through. If he can get it through you, he will get it to you. You got it. And so, you know, and we have to pass the money test every time we get paid. Every time you get paid, every time you get increased, every time, especially you get a big lump sum of money. There's some people that, you know, they'll pay tithes off of a $500 check. You understand? But let them get a $5,000 settlement. Hold on, Jesus. Wait a minute now. You got it. And you have to understand that every time you get paid or every time you get increased, you take a test. And the test is, who are you going to honor for what you receive? You got it? And so you have to understand the principle that God is actually not trying to get anything from us, that he's trying to get something to us, that when we release what's in our hands, God releases what's in his, and how many know his hands are bigger than ours, right? And so I've told you my testimony about several years ago. I was at a very low point in my life, and I learned the principle of giving, and I started flowing in this grace of giving, and it radically changed my life. I want to give you a scriptural perspective on the grace of giving. So go with me to 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter and the 1st verse. 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter and the 1st verse. All right, we didn't do this at the beginning, and so we're going to just stop right in the middle of my lesson and do this. Just check on everybody down your row. If you have not said hi to them or wave to them, make sure you do that. Make sure everybody's awake, because some people sleep with their eyes wide open. All right, 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter and the 1st verse. All right, it says, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about, watch this, the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. So now, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, but he's telling them and testifying of the Macedonia churches. And he says, in the midst of a very severe trial, so they were going through something, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. So they gave in tough times. And how many know tough times are no excuse not to give? It's actually the reason why we should give. Right? He says, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even what? Beyond their ability. They sacrificed. You got it? He says, watch this, entirely on their own. So nobody pushed them. Well, I say push. Nobody pressured them. You got it? Last Sunday, last Saturday night, you didn't get a call from anybody, did you? No, you got it. Nobody texted you, said you better make sure you give. Isn't that right? Nobody did that. When you came here last Sunday, I know I wasn't here, but I'm quite sure that the ushers didn't stay down your line looking to see if you was going to give a little more, right? No, because the Bible says not out of compulsion. You got it? You got it? You have to do it from your heart, all right? So the Bible says entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And watch this, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion the act of grace on your part. Watch what he says. But since you excel in what class?
Everything.
In what?
Everything.
He says you excel in faith. You excel in speech. You can communicate well. You excel in knowledge. You got it. God's wisdom is in you. You got it. He says you excel in complete earnest and in the love we have kindled in you. He says, see that you what? Also excel, watch this, in this grace of giving. So he was talking about giving. And so you always hear me say that giving is not what? That's right. Giving is not a game. It is God's plan to prosper our lives. And to the degree that we do it on purpose, out of principle, we'll see amazing things happen in our lives. Giving is an expression of God's grace in the life of the believer. It is an act of God's grace in the life of the believer. The Macedonia church gave in response to the grace of God that was at work in their lives. So, how many will agree that grateful people give? Isn't that right? Yeah, like when you're grateful people give, you know. To flow in this grace of giving, there are two things that you need to take place. How many?
Two.
Two. All right. Number one, the first thing that you need is you must recognize the grace of God that is at work in your life. I'll say it again. You must recognize the grace of God that is at work in your life. I've got a question for everybody in the room. Is there anybody in the room that can testify that God has been good? Is there anybody that can testify that God is good? I mean, has he ever opened the door, made a way, healed your body, protected you, kept your mind right? Hello, somebody. Like, so God has been good, and God is good, and so you see the grace of God at work in your life. Can I go a little bit further? Has God ever been good to anybody who has not been good to him? Yes, he has. Come on, somebody. Let's just be honest. Even in our own personal lives, I know we don't like to talk like that because we just like to act like we are saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, on our way to heaven, glad about it, and ain't never did nothing wrong. Yeah, hello, somebody. But how many know that's not true? There are times in our lives where we maybe did not do our part, but how many know in us not doing our part, God still did his part. His grace was still sufficient even when we weren't doing our part. Can I get up? Yeah, I know we don't like to talk about those kind of things, and I know like we like to stay, you know, in our quiet time and think about those things, but sometimes you just got to testify that even when I wasn't good, God was still good. Even when I didn't understand, God showed up. Even when I made mistakes, God was there. And even when I made mistakes, God helped me get out of the mistake, didn't expose me, kept his favor on my life, because that's the kind of God that we serve. Isn't that right? That's why the writer tells you to don't go upside somebody's head when they fall. The Bible says if someone is overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, go restore them in the spirit of meekness, considering yourselves. Come on, somebody. Because we done been through some stuff. Isn't that right? When we used to go, years ago and before COVID and those kind of things, we would go in and out of the prison ministries, and some of the brothers would go with me and that kind of thing. And one of the first things I would always tell the guys is, hey, the only difference between some of y'all and some of us is y'all got caught and we didn't. I mean, let's just be honest, right? So there's nobody, watch this now, that is just so good. The bottom line is God is good, and if it had not been for his grace, if it had not been for his mercy, if it had not been for his loving kindness, we would not be where we were. Because if God could ever, watch this, cause the curtains to be open in all of our lives, we would not be very happy about other people seeing what we went through. But thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his love. Thank God for how he keeps us. He restores us. Hello, somebody, and doesn't expose us. Isn't that right? Yeah. And so you have to recognize the grace of God that is at work in your life. God has been good and God is good. You got it. And I believe that and we have to understand that, because that's what causes us to be grateful. Because we can't be so suchy much. Y'all know what suchy much is, right? Yeah. You can't be so suchy much, because if we're not careful, even if you got it together now, you didn't always have it. Come on, somebody. And truth be told, you're still working out your soul salvation with fear and trembling. Isn't that right? Yeah. And so you just got to understand it. So that's number one. All right, everybody say number two. Number two, you must fully understand the principle of giving and you must apply it in your life. You must fully understand the principle of giving and apply it in your life. All right? Giving is the verb of the Bible. Giving is the verb of the Bible. In the Bible, we'll see the word believe 272 times. How many times? 272 times. We'll see the word pray 371 times. All right? We'll see the word love 714 times, but we see the word give 2,161 times. Give, the word, watch this, giving is the verb of the Bible. The Bible says in Psalms 37 and 21 that the wicked borrow and never repay, but the godly are generous givers. You got it. And so you got to understand, of course, we understand that it's not our righteousness, that is his righteousness, because our righteousness is as filthy rags. But I thank God for his righteousness and him putting his righteousness on me to make me righteous. Hello, somebody. You got it. And so the Bible says that the godly are generous givers. All right. Proverbs 11 and 25 says a generous person will what? Oh, let's act like that again. All right. Proverbs 11 and 25 says that a generous person will what?
Prosper.
There you go, class. A generous person will prosper. And sometimes if you're not careful in the natural, people think that's an oxymoron because some people they look at giving as losing when giving actually equals gaining. Does that make sense? So the Bible says that someone who is generous, someone who gives, they are going to prosper. And whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Right? So giving is a matter of the heart, and you can never beat God-given. I don't care how hard you try. The more you give, the more God gives back to you. All right? Well, Pastor, why are you teaching this? Because we already gave. You got it? Faith cometh by
hearing.
And hearing by. And so it's important. I mean, I'm thank God that you already gave, but I still, following behind Pastor Pat, want to make sure that we're teaching you the word of God on this so you can be in faith that even if I've already done it, I've got to release my faith for the promised blessing that he's going to open up the windows of heaven. He's going to pour out a blessing. He's going to call all's favor to abound in my life. So when you gave, that wasn't the end, but that was the beginning. You set something into motion. Come on, somebody. It ain't, okay, well, praise the Lord, they gave. We're going to just pay off the bills and it's over. No, it's not over. It's just the beginning. So now you got to be believing every day for uncommon, unusual, and unexplainable favor in your life. If something happens this week, you got it, and it takes you by surprise, and it wasn't supposed to happen, you say, wait a minute, the devil is a lie. I am a giver. I am in covenant with God. I just got done sacrificing. So, Lord, I thank you that you are the God of recompense, and you're going to take care of all that for me. You're going to give me double for my trouble. So anytime the enemy presents you with something that is not yours, don't receive it. You got to tell him to take it back. I did not order this. This is not mine. It is not my portion. Peace is my portion. Joy is my portion. Prosperity is my portion. Nothing missing, nothing lacking, and nothing broken in my life is my portion. And I'm only going to take what belongs to me. I can't speak for anybody else. I don't know what anybody else's faith is, but my faith is, watch this, that because I'm in covenant with God, all grace is going to abound toward me, and God is going to take care of me and my family in grand style.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? Yeah. So, and that's why you can't appraise the possibility of losing when you haven't lost. Sometimes you'll look at things and maybe the bank account might not be flowing the way you want it. Maybe there's something going on in the job, something going on, you know, with the business and those kind of things. And the enemy will try to talk you out of what you're already doing. You know, he'll try to talk you out of what God, what you've already set in motion with your seed. And so giving is a matter of the heart. Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 21st verse says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And a lot of people don't realize this, but, you know, it's almost like there's an imaginary string between your heart and your wallet, or your heart and your purse, or your heart and your bank account. You got it? And so where your treasure is, there's your heart also. God, watch this, is really not after your money. He's after your heart. You got it? I can look at your bank account and tell who has your heart. Come on, somebody. You got it? Yeah, absolutely. A lot of us, you got it? You know, well, you know, well, I just use me. You got it? Lady has my heart. And I got the bank account to prove it, the stubs to prove it. Praise the Lord. You got it? My kids have my heart, right? So if Hannah wants something, you got it, or Jay wants something, all they got to do is just ask, right? And then I'm just going to give it to them, right? Yeah, no problem. Why? Because they have my heart. Right? So what God wants is he wants our heart. And what happens is one of the toughest things in the natural is to let go, of these monies. Right? But you have to understand that the tithe is the accursed thing. Yeah. Okay, so let's just back up. What even makes the big giving even more supernatural, you got it, is you didn't have to do it. Come on, somebody. Like, you didn't have, like, see, I'm a real man of God. I ain't gonna lie to you. You understand what I'm saying? Tithe, you got a tithe. Tithe is the holy thing. It is the set apart thing. It is the accursed thing. It don't belong to you. You got it? You don't want to keep it in your house. You hello, somebody. You want to give that to God. So the tithe, it belongs to the Lord. You got it? The whole Abel and Cain thing, the reason God accepted Abel's offering and not Cain's is because Abel brought the first. You got it? Cain didn't bring the first. He just brought a piece of the first. You got it? But watch this. But the tithe is not the sixth. The tithe is not the eighth. The tithe is not even the ninth and a half. The tithe is the tenth. God said it that way. It belongs to God. And watch this. And when you give him the 10, he breathes on the 90 and causes the 90 to go further. Hello, somebody. Then if you would have kept the 100 on your own. Does that make sense? So you got to see that, and you got to understand that, but what makes the big giving? This is why you know I don't have a problem pushing you in this area because I know what happens when you sacrifice. Lady and I, we live a life of sacrifice. We are always giving. You got to always giving. And so we live a life of sacrifice, but it has set in motion the supernatural. Like, I live a supernatural life. Like, I really, when you look at my life, it's supernatural. There's no way in the natural. People say, well, Pastor, you just real smart. I ain't that smart. Like, I got some wisdom, but that ain't all me. That is God putting his super on my natural. The wisdom that I have is supernatural wisdom from God. The insight that I have is not just my insight. It is the supernatural insight from God. You got it? I used to shock myself when I first started pastoring, and it was like I had to answer to everything. I realized it wasn't me that had to answer. It was the God in me that had to answer. Hello, somebody. And so what happens is you got to understand, you know, you didn't have to sow toward the big giving. If you did, God wouldn't have been upset. Come on, somebody, talk back to me if I'm teaching right. He wouldn't have been upset, right? Like if somebody didn't give, they're not going to be under the curse. Let's just tell the truth. But when you understand the principle of giving, and when you understand sacrifice sets in motion the supernatural power of God, and when you understand when you release what's in your hand, God releases what's in his, then when you give, you have to get excited. You have to get an anticipation and expectation that I have just sacrificed. It has just set in motion the supernatural, and now I'm ready to see God do amazing things in my life. Does that make sense? All right. Amen. That's a good place to clap. Now, everybody clap all over the building. If you're going to clap, give me a good clap. Don't pat a cake in the house of the Lord. He's back. All right, so I'm not giving you my testimony because I've shared it with you before. I've showed you the ice cream truck and all those kind of things, you know, and how God blessed me, how I used my faith where I was at. And that's what you have to learn to do. Use your faith where you're at. Use your faith where you're at and stay in your lane. Use your faith where you're at and stay in your lane, all right? I learned the principle of giving in tough times, and I thank God for my pastor who had a boldness to teach me the word on giving. Because it transformed my life. You got it? Paul actually apologizes to the church at Corinth for not admonishing them to give. So he talks to them, you got it, and says, hey, I need to tell you about the Macedonia churches. And he was not trying to compare them. He was trying to get them to understand and set an example that I have talked to them about giving. I have admonished them to give, and look what God is doing in their life. Watch this. I need to do the same thing to you. 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and the 13th verse. He says, for what is it wherein ye were, what's that next word? Inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you, forgive me this wrong. All right? Now let's break it down in the Amplified. He says, for in what respect you were put to a what? Disadvantage. So inferior, you were put to a disadvantage in comparison to the rest of the churches, unless it was for the fact that I myself did not burden you with what? Financial support. So he's talking about money. He's talking about giving, right? He said, pardon me for doing you this injustice. And any pastor who will not teach, now it's got to be sound doctrine. You got it? Sound doctrine as it relates to giving, watch this, makes his church inferior, puts his church at a disadvantage. Why? Because you can never be God-giving. I told you, giving is a life hack. You got it? Why is it? Because I don't care what the best investment you got. You got it? It doesn't match God. Because when you give, watch this, God, because we're in covenant with him, has something in place. He says that you will never do for me that I will not do far greater for you. And when you give to me, I will give back money, but I just won't give back money. I'll protect you. I'll heal you. I'll keep you. I'll restore you. You understand what I'm saying? So giving is a life hack. And so it is the will of God that every pastor, man or woman of God, as the case may be, teach their church on giving. And why did they become inferior? Because see, what happens is I can put two people right next to each other, right? And you can teach one to give and teach one not to give. The one that gives is going to prosper and the supernatural is going to be on their life. The one that does not give is only going to be able to prosper, not from God, but just to the degree that they can make money. You got it? Go to work, you know. But see, that's just addition. We don't serve the God of addition. We serve the God of multiplication. You understand what I'm saying? And so you have to understand the importance of your man and your woman of God teaching you in this area, or any of my staff or anybody who teaches, teaching you in this area so you can understand the importance. But after you give, it's not over. It's just starting. It's just the beginning. You got to get in faith that, God, I'm ready for the floodgates of heaven to open up in my life. Does that make sense? All right. So seed leaves your hand, but it never leaves your life. It goes into your future, it prepares your harvest, it waits on your arrival, all right? And so you know, I got the revelation on giving years ago. I learned that if I served, if I sowed, if I sacrificed, I'd see the supernatural, all right? You know, when coming up in church, you could not beat me serving, you could not beat me to church. You got it? I was always at church, I was always cleaning, cutting the grass, washing my pastor's car, you know, always working the principle because I understood that the principle worked. I understood the importance of service, and everything I do as unto the Lord and not as unto men. That's why I think it's the will of God for everybody to be on the dream team in some different area. You got it? I believe that we should all serve. It's the least we can do after everything that God has done for us. Does that make sense? All right. 17 of y'all clap, but I'll take it. I'll take it. Amen. All right. The thing about learning to flow in this grace of giving is God always blesses you in return, and his blessings far outweigh what you give, all right? A seed never looks like what it will become. And that's why you should never discount your seed, all right? You heard, you know, Pastor, you know, I've been telling you, Lady and I, we lead the way. We gave $25,000. Well, we couldn't always give $25,000, right? I remember when I first got into an environment where I saw people giving big, you got it? I was like, whoa. You know, I saw people going up to, you know, giving, they did something called motivational giving. They put mics out, and I don't have time to talk about that, but it's very scriptural. Ananias and Sapphira, they gave publicly. David gave publicly, and, you know, just things like that through scripture. And so I remember I was in this environment, and it was just, the whole night was just based on giving. People were giving $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, and watch this, I didn't get upset. Because I didn't have that kind of money. I say, see, that's what I'm talking about. People showing up. No. I said, God, I want to do that. Yeah. You got it. Back that time, Pastor used to wear all them flashy suits. Y'all remember them flashy suits we used to wear back in the day with my alligator shoes? You understand what I'm saying? I told Lady, I want to take off my alligator shoes and just go put them in the bucket. You understand? Why? Because the spirit of giving was in the place. And watch this, and we were giving into the kingdom of God. You got it? And I had never seen anything like that before in my life. You got it? I'm not trying to be funny, but I remember as a little boy, we had the little offering table that was, it was really the communion table. You got it? You know, and people would come by, and we would put the money right there on the offering table. No envelope or no nothing. You know, and you see, you know, and then we had the trustees or the deacons, they would be counting them, right? And then you would have one counting the large bills, you got it? The 50s and the 20s, you got it? You have, you know, maybe two people counting the 5s and the 10s, and you have about 15 people counting the 1s, you understand what I'm saying? Because that's all that was coming in. Come on, somebody. And so, watch this. So our thinking, hello somebody, has been trained that what you give to God, the one that gives you breath, the one that gives you strength, the one that gives you grace, is you just come and put a little dollar dabadooya, and I'll just keep going on my way. But not understanding that you're missing it if you think that you're getting over. You're not getting over. You're hurting yourself. Because when you give the tithe, when you give the tenth, it rebukes the devourer for your name's sake. So if the devil tries to come at your family, say, no, you don't either. All right. So, but don't discount your seed. You know, don't discount your seed. There's a time years ago, we've done motivational giving and those kind of things, and Lady and I prayed, and we stopped. And I'll tell you why. Not because there's anything wrong with it. Not because it's not scriptural, but because we saw, especially the newer people, like how they would get so discouraged. You got it? And I was like, well, babe, that wasn't what we was trying to do. She's like, no, let's just stop, you know. And we took some heat on that. People thought, no, but the Holy Spirit says, son, no, actually, by doing that, you got it, it shows your faith. You got it? Because my faith is that you ain't got to come to a mic. Come on, somebody. My faith is, Pastor, just teach you the word. Come on, somebody. And like I said, I'm not knocking that. There's nothing wrong with that. I got friends who do that. I got some friends got big giving days coming up. They about to do all that. Nothing wrong with that. You got it. But I have learned that when it comes to this house, I got to hear from God for myself. Because what happens is, it's not worth it to me for a new person to come in who just got saved, who doesn't understand that, and they just happen to not hear any of my lessons on giving and come on that one day, and now they leave and say, man, see, I ain't fooling with God. To me, it ain't worth it. I'd rather keep the soul, walk by faith, and trust that you're going to give the same thing in an envelope than you're going to give. Come on, somebody. I'm teaching better than you shouting amen up here. So thank God for a good man and woman of God who ain't going to play no games. Who's going to teach you the word of God. Hello, somebody. You know, I was telling some people I wasn't going to be there for my big giving. They're like, what you going to do? I said, what do you mean what I'm going to do? Pat going to teach. They're going to receive the offering. And we just going to receive a bunch of money. You ain't going to be there? No, I'm not going to. I don't need to be there. Because I'm their pastor and not their master. Come on, somebody. I have taught you the word on giving. That's my job. That's all I'm supposed to do. Now it is up to you to receive the word with gladness. Hello, somebody. And not allow the seed to be stolen from the enemy. You got it? And what happens is, I do my part and I sit back and I trust God the rest of the way. And that's the same way you do in your life. You do your part. You got it? When you hit tough challenges in your life, tough situations, those kind of things, you do your part, and you sit back, and you trust God and watch him do his part. Amen? Seed never looks like what it will become, all right? Put up my first picture in the back, please. What's that? Seed. What kind of seed? Boy, if I could get me a good, juicy one right now that was sweet, that would not be a bad thing. All right? Just one of those produces, give me my next screen, one of those. Go back to my first screen. That, go back to my second screen, produces that. Go back. That produces that. So a seed never looks like what it will become. So don't discount your seed because you think, oh, you know, well, we could only give $300. No, man, because ain't nobody playing no games. If that was your sacrifice, that was your sacrifice, and it's going to set in motion the supernatural. Does that make sense? But watch this. Now that you, watch this, especially if this is your first time doing this, you got to understand how this works. So go back to my first screen. That, watch this, that seed will produce that. But now when harvest time comes, the Bible says that he will multiply your seed sown. You got it? The Bible says that he gives seed to the sower. You got it? And so what happens is, he will multiply the seed sown. He will increase the fruit of your righteousness. God is not a God of addition. He's a God of multiplication. Give me my last screen. So when he gives you a harvest, he makes sure that there's more seed on the inside so you enjoy the harvest, but there's still seed for you to keep sowing so you stay in a perpetual state of giving. Does that make sense? So watch this. So when God blesses you and if you stay in faith, he's going to. You got it. And let's say, you know, in the next few weeks, something happens. You know, God bless. Oh, my, $4,000, $5,000, just whatever, favor, all kind of thing. Make sure out of whatever God has given you, you take a seed out of that and you put it back into the kingdom of God so that thing can keep going. Does that make sense? Yeah, I'm trying to teach you how to prosper God's way. Does that make sense? All right, let's go home, Maestro. We did good. Give the Lord a hand, praise in the house. So I want to challenge you to start giving God's way. And if you do, I promise you, you will get God results. Bottom line, he's not trying to get something from you. He's trying to get something to you. And man, the beautiful thing I love is, you know, a lot of you have been, working this principle and God has blessed your life. And so because of that, you are not inferior. You are not at a disadvantage. But you are at an advantage because you understand the principle of the kingdom of God. And now that you understand that, you know how it works. So it doesn't matter what the economy does. It doesn't matter what your stocks do. It doesn't matter what your retirement does. And, you know, I understand we want all that to flow and go the way it's supposed to. But the thing that never changes is the fact that you're a giver. The thing that never changes is God. He's the Lord and he changes not. The thing that never changes is the kingdom. So it doesn't matter, even if I get in a tough time. Watch this. You don't need to wait on pastor, you know, for a big giving day. If you, you know, working on something, man, you might, Lady and I do it all the time. Say, man, let's put a seed on it. And we put a seed on it above our normal tithes and offering. And we target it for whatever we're believing for. And we always see God come to pass. Giving is not what? It's not a game. But it is God's plan to prosper your life. Our church, it's supernatural what God has done in this little bit of time in this church. But one thing you have to understand, our church is a giving church. We give. So out of all the money that we receive, you know, this past week, you got it. We've already said, okay, we know we want to be a blessing to a few churches. We want to help a few people and those kind of things. Why? Even though we're pastor, I thought we were going to give all that money, you know, to the bank. We're going to give all of it except the seed. Because anytime you bring in a harvest like that, you got to keep sowing. Because if you keep sowing, you keep reaping. You keep sowing, you keep reaping. Does that make sense? And so the reason our church is at a point of where it is. Yes, we steward well. Yes, we give, but because God's supernatural hand is on our lives. I mean, y'all, we went from $3.4 million. Pretty soon we're going to be under $1 million. Got it? Now, of course, that's this land, that land, this building, that building. That land, you know, next door, I've already told you, that's separate. You got, but we already working on that. You got it. God's already given Pastor the wisdom on, you know, flowing in that and those kind of things. And so, but it is just a matter of time till I'm going to stand up before you and say that the ministry is totally debt free. Totally debt free. If you do it God's way, you're going to get God results. And you ought to be glad that you come to a church where you have a man and woman of God who walk in integrity, who have chosen to do it God's way. Like, I didn't just figure this out when I got here. I was working this principle long before I got here. You got it? And I knew that the principle worked, and that's why I had the conviction to teach you. And now I see you living good, and you driving good, and you eating good. You understand what I'm saying? And that's God's will for your life. Because watch this, when you look good, you make God look good. Does that make sense? Because when I'm, and it's not all about stuff, y'all know that. But watch this, if I'm witnessing to people, hello somebody, I don't need to be witnessing to people and, you know, I can barely make it and I'm talking doubt and unbelief and, you know, it's tough. I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain. You got it. You know, I'm trying to witness to them talking about, you got $100 you can loan me so I can pay my light bill. No, that's not the kingdom of God. And so if you don't work the principle in the room or online, I challenge you to start working it and watch what God does in your life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Father, we thank you for the harvest and that none of the harvest is lost in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for every seed that has been sown and that will continue to be sown. We thank you that Without Limits is totally and completely debt-free. We believe it, we receive it, we confess it, and we stand on your promises. In Jesus' name. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and believers are praying all over the building. I dare not leave without giving you the opportunity in the room and online to accept Jesus into your heart. You heard about those connection cards, and yes, if you're a first-time friend, I need you to fill out the connection card. But listen, if you're going to get saved today, I need you to fill out that connection card. If you're going to rededicate your life to Jesus today, I need you to fill out that connection card. If you want to join this amazing church, I need you to fill out the connection card. And so, if you're not saved and you need to be, or you need to rededicate your life, or you're a Christian that needs to repent, we're going to pray this prayer. I want everybody in the room and online to just repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior, and from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Father, we thank you for what you've done. We seal it now to the day of redemption. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise all over the building?